Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 4. Can we unite our hearts at the throne of grace in prayer and still our hearts in the Lord's presence? Our gracious and our loving God, we come to Thee afresh. We bow humbly at Thy feet. And as we come to Thee, we thank Thee for the vision that we have already been given in Thy Word today, the door open in heaven. We'd ask Thee, Lord, that as we peer in today, that we might see wondrous things, that we might behold mighty things, and that our curiosity may be kindled, and that we might want to know more, that we might draw near to Thee. And, O God, that Thou wouldst help us and bless us as we seek to hear Thy Word. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. My text is the first few words of our Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven." The Apostle John was a very privileged man indeed. While the Master was upon the earth, he was the favored disciple who leaned upon his Master's breast. And of course, that was a token of familiarity and friendship that he had with the Lord. Very often the Lord would have taken him with Andrew and Peter and James, and these four disciples in particular were taken aside. They were the inner council that the Savior had. Now he's dwelling in exile amid the wild rocks of the Isle of Patmos. He is by this stage an old man. I'm sure he thought that his days of usefulness were over. He thought that his day of blessing had come to an end. He cannot get off the island now. He's virtually in imprisonment on the Isle of Patmos. But thank God the Lord had not finished his dealings with John. And he comes now, and as John is on the isle, this wild island with the waves beating and the sound of the sea, John sees a vision of the doors of heaven opened. And as John peers through the gloom, as it were, he sees those doors open, and he sees right into glory itself. And what a marvelous thing it was that this old man was able to see right into the doors of heaven. And I thought of that, and as I thought of the doors of heaven, I realized that there are many times in the Bible when God, as it were, opened the doors of heaven, and when mighty things happened, when the doors of heaven were opened. And so, for a few minutes, I thought we would think of the doors of heaven and the many times when God opened the doors. And there are a number of times when God opened the doors, and when we look at the doors of heaven opened, we think of how these doors are a door of communication, a door through which God speaks to man. And then something else, they are a door of observation, because John was able to look through the doors here and see right into heaven itself. And then they are doors of invitation, because John is told here in verse 4, or chapter 4 and verse 1, "Come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter." So he receives an invitation to come up and enter into the doors. And thank God that's an invitation that is extended to men and women today. So for a few minutes, we just want to think very simply about the open doors of heaven. And first of all, then, we said that they are doors of communication. God has been pleased to open the doors of heaven to speak to man, to deal with man. And that's an amazing thing in itself. Because you think of the angels that fell, and God has no real communication with the fallen angels. Now, I know that there are times when it says in the Bible that God speaks to the devil, and I know that. But you know, when God opened the doors of heaven, he opened the doors of heaven to have blessed dealings and gracious dealings with mankind. The angels that fell, God doesn't open the doors of heaven to them in that way. He doesn't open those doors in grace. And that's an amazing thing, that God does not deal with the angels that fell in grace, but he deals with men and women. He's interested in the men that he created, men and women like you and me. And that's God's sovereignty, and that's God's grace. And we see how God chooses some, passes over others. Some people have difficulty with the doctrine of election, that God chooses some. But you know, God chose men, or from among men, and he passed over the angels. God did not choose the angels that fell. And we don't understand that, and we can't take that in, but we see how it is true. God determined to do something for men, and he opened the doors of heaven in order to do that. And we read how in Genesis 3 and 15, he said, after man fell, he gave the first gospel promise. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Thank God the Lord communicates and has communicated with men down through the ages. We think of how he opened the windows of heaven and the doors of heaven to speak to us. You know, God has spoken to men. And he has opened the window or the doors of heaven in order to speak to us. We think of the many blessed promises that he has given. He says that I give unto them, his people, eternal life, and they shall never perish. How he came to Adam and he spoke to Adam. How he came to Abraham and he spoke to Abraham. And he gave him the blessed promise that in his seed should all the nations of the earth be blessed. He came to David and he promised that on David's throne there would be an occupant forever. And God said, I will bless men. I will send my son. I will send him to die there on the blessed cross of Calvary. And thank God that he has sent the gospel message. And he sent preachers down through the ages to declare the gospel message. And it is as if God has opened the door of heaven to proclaim his message to us. And he's speaking to us today. He's speaking to us in this day and generation. He is speaking to men and women. He is speaking to you. He has given us this word. He has opened the doors of heaven to give men revelation down through the ages that we might have this Bible in our hands. He wants to speak to you. He bids those that are athirst to come to him, and he will give them life. Not only does he open the door of heaven to speak to us, but he opens the door of heaven to save us. Thank God he opened the door to send his son. What a day that must have been when our Savior left the realms of glory and was clothed in flesh and came down to this world. You know, the angels couldn't understand that. They couldn't understand what was happening. Why was God so gracious to sinful men and women? But you know, he opened the doors of heaven and came down to this earth. And what a mighty thing it must have been as our Savior passed through. And we read of the angels coming with him. They wanted to see what was going on. And so great was this thing that was taking place that we read that the angels burst into song. And they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And he came to be our Savior. He came to be Emmanuel, God with us. And of course, he is the only one who can save. And if those doors had not opened up for our Savior to pass through, there could have been no salvation. He is the mediator of the covenant. He is the Savior. And thank God that the Savior came to be one who was a Redeemer. You think again of how the door of heaven opened that God the Father might smite his Son. The Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And those doors opened that the Father might lay upon his Son the wrath that was our due. But thank God again the doors of heaven opened when our Savior ascended in victory. He went from this earth. He rose from the dead in victory. And he rose from this earth and the doors of heaven opened and he entered in again. And where is he now? He's seated at God's right hand, now making intercession for us. And you know in the psalmist speaks about that scene when the Savior ascended. And if you look at Psalm 24, you have a vision of these things when the doors of heaven were opened and our Savior entered in. Look at Psalm 24, and it says there in that psalm, Lift up your heads, verse 7. O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So the gates opened. The mighty everlasting doors swung back. And the King of glory came in. And he is the King of glory. But one day, men and women, those doors will open again. And we read of our Savior who will come and set one foot upon earth and one foot upon the sea and one upon the land. And he will put his feet upon the Mount of Olives. And he'll come again, and the doors of heaven will be opened. He'll come to bring his people to himself. And I hope that you'll be among them. I hope that one day that you will enter into the everlasting doors. One day those doors will swing back and you will go in. You'll not need to go to Peter to ask him permission to get in, because you will have in your hand, as it were, the marks of Christ. The blood sprinkling will be there, and you'll be able to enter in through the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood today? Are your garments spotless or the whitest? No, are they washed in the blood of the Lamb? Because only in that way can you enter into these everlasting doors. And those doors of communication were opened that God might speak to us and that God might save us. There's another reason why those doors were opened, that he might receive our supplication and our prayers. And the gates of heaven are opened that God might hear us. Not only that we might hear him, but that he might hear us. That he might hear the prayers that we offer. You know, the Bible says that in heaven, at the throne, there are the golden vials, which are the prayers of the saints. How do they enter in? Well, God hears them. The doors, as it were, open that we might hear the prayers of his people. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But thank God he will hear the sinner's prayer. He'll hear those that cry unto him, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He'll hear that cry. The doors of heaven will be open that he might hear that cry that ascends from the sinner. Sinner, won't you cry the cry? Won't you let that prayer ascend to heaven? That cry for mercy, that cry for forgiveness, that cry that your sins might be forgiven. These doors are doors of communication. But then I want you to see something else. The doors of heaven that are opened here are doors of observation. Because that is what is seen here. Because when John sees the doors of heaven open, he begins to look in. And it says that he saw the throne, and he saw him that sat upon it. And he says in verse 3, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And as John sees into the doors of heaven opened, he sees the glories and the splendors of heaven. He sees something of what heaven is like. My, what a vision he's given! What glories and splendors there are here. We see the jasper stone that is clear and speaks of holiness. The sardius, which is red, that speaks of justice. It speaks of the blood. The rainbow that is green. And green is that which speaks of that which is forever. Thank God those that are saved will be forever in that place of splendor. In that place of glory. There will be an eternal rest. There's no night there. There's no parting there. There's no sorrow there. We enter into that place where nothing that defiles can enter in. That country that lies beyond the river of death. And one day we'll go through the cold, chilling river. But beyond, for the people of God, through the doors of glory, there is that place of splendor, that place of purity, that place of beauty, that place of health, that place of happiness, that place of power, that place of splendor. You think of all the glories that eastern kingdoms manifested. But there is nothing to the glory of heaven I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Oh, here there is sadness. In this world there's a veil of tears and parting, and there is sickness, and there is all sorts of tribulation. But in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, the Savior said, I would have told you. I am going to that city which I have never seen. I'm going to a country whose shores are evergreen. Are you going there? Are you going to that place of splendor? That place of glory? This is real. This is real. This is more real than the earth and the ground that you are standing upon. For heaven and earth, the Bible says, will pass away. But the things of God will never pass away. It's a place of splendor. But not only did John here see the splendor of heaven, but he saw the sovereign in heaven. Look at what he says in the verse 2. He says, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And that is what filled his vision. If you look carefully there, he speaks about the elders upon the 20 seats, and he speaks something about the throne and all that was round about it. But the thing that really fills John's view is the sovereign on the throne. Somebody has said that that is the thing that will occupy us for all eternity. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It'll not be the splendors and the gold and the sardine stones and the precious emeralds and all these things. It'll be the Lord Jesus Christ who redeemed His people and washed them in the precious blood of the Lamb. One day we were condemned, but now we're saved. One day we are on the road to a Christless hell, and we will have experienced or seen something of those that have been taken away into a Christless eternity. But there we will be in bliss for all eternity, and we will sing the glories of the Lamb. I want to see my Savior first of all, for before on many others I shall call. And then for countless days on His dear face I'll gaze. I want to see my Savior first of all. The all-knowing, omnipresent, omniscient God. That is the one that we see. That is the one that we behold. And I hope tonight that you are dependent upon Him. That He is an object of glory and beauty to you. He's not an object of fear. John saw the sovereign on the throne. Not only did he see the splendor of heaven and the sovereign in heaven, but he saw the sanctity of heaven. Look at verse 8. It speaks of the four beasts there. And he says, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now, what is the reference there to the four beasts and the eyes? Well, the eyes speak of perfect knowledge, perfect sight, insight. And those beasts there are watching to see of anything that defiles. They will keep anything that defiles from entering in. This is a place of sanctity, a holy place. Nothing that defiles will enter in. We in our sin cannot enter in. You, in your present condition, sinner, cannot enter in. You'll never know this place. You'll never know the blessing. My dear friend, if you could only just see what John saw, if you could just in your imagination in some way behold what John saw, you'd want to be in that place. You'd not put yourself at any risk of losing out and being in that place. You'd want to be there. You know, John Bunyan, when he wrote The Pilgrim's Progress, he speaks of pilgrim coming to the shores of death. And just in front of him, there is the cold river Jordan. And he sees a Christian is there and Hopeful is with him. And Hopeful goes across the river of death. And the gates, the doors of heaven open. And Christian is still on this side of death. But as he sees Hopeful going over, he sees the doors of heaven open, and he peers beyond the celeste into the celestial city. And he sees the people there, and he says there that he saw. Now, he said, this is what he says. Now, just as the gates were opened, I looked in after them, and behold, the city shone like the sun. The streets also were paved with gold, and in them walked many men with crowns on their heads, palms in their hands, and golden harps to sing withal. And Bunyan says that as he looked in his dream and he saw these people, he said, I wished myself among them. You know, sometimes as God's people we become homesick for glory. There are times in prayer. There are times in our worship when we get a little glimpse of glory. We get a little glimpse of heaven. And in those times, I think we wish ourselves among the people that are there. Wish ourselves to be in glory, to leave behind this veil of tears. Dear friend, do you wish yourself among them? Let the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. This is a door of communication. This is a door of observation. He sees what takes place beyond the doors of heaven. But then also we said it is a door of invitation, because John is given an invitation in chapter 4, verse 1. It says here, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And John is given the invitation to come into those doors. You know, the same invitation is given to you and me. You know, when Mary was in the midst of her grief, and when Lazarus had died, and when he had been taken from her, the message of Christ was, And Martha came to say to Mary, the Master is come and calleth for thee. You know, the Master is come today. He calls for us. He opens the door of heaven. He's calling for you. Come up hither. I want you to be with me. I want you to rest in my love. I want you to be with me for all eternity. The Lord says to you, He says, come up hither. I will show thee. Show you things you've never imagined. Show you things that you've never dreamed. Show you things of splendor and glory that will last for all eternity. Come up hither, and I will show thee. And the Lord is saying that to you, sinner, today. Saying that to you, backslider. Come. Come to me. Come to me. And you know, the apostle, or the psalmist rather, in the psalm, made a wise prayer one time. He said, oh, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Because all the splendors and all that we can have in this old world is nothing. It's just like that. It'll pass away. Our life is like the falling of a leaf. It's like the binding of a sheaf. But where will you be in eternity? You know, in order to enter the door, you've got to get on the way. If you are planning this afternoon to go and visit somebody, and you want to stand at their door and enter into their house, you have to get on the way before you enter into the door. The Lord Jesus one time said, enter ye at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There are few that find the straight gate. What is the straight gate? Well, the Lord said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, unless you enter by the straight gate, unless you enter by the Lord's door, You will never be in the place of splendor. Here is the invitation. The Lord says, come up hither. But you enter by Christ. You've got to take Him as your Savior. There was a great traveler a number of years ago, and he often recounted to his friends his experiences about foreign lands and exotic places and all the things that he had seen. And there were things that only his listeners could dream of. He had been in many places that they could never have been in. But then one day, as he came towards the end of his life, he closed his account of the great places he had seen. And he said to his hearers, but I expect to see something wonderful someday. Something more wonderful someday. Now his hearers looked at him in surprise because he had seen such wonderful things that they couldn't understand where it would be that he would travel to or what clime he would experience that would be more wonderful than the things that he had already seen. And they said to him, where are you going? Where are you planning to go to? That there's something that you'll see that's more wonderful than the things that you've seen before. And this traveler said to him, I mean that 5 minutes after death, I expect to see something much more wonderful than I've ever seen upon this earth. Now, men, women, where will you be 5 minutes after death? Where will you be 5 minutes after death? Are you sure you'll be there? Are you sure you'll be in the gates of splendor and in the place of glory? Or maybe you know where you'll be 5 minutes after death. And it's very far from the glory and splendor of heaven itself. I, dear friend, ask you to heed the invitation. I say to you, men and women, listen to what God says. Come up hither. He's given you invitation. He's given you the opportunity to get right with Him. But it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that you can enter the door. Will you enter today? Will you take God's invitation? This is a door of invitation. He opens the door wide that you might enter in. Enter today. Enter. Make sure. The Bible says, strive to enter. Strive to enter. Do all that you can. Leave no stone unturned. And make sure at the end of the day you enter the open door of heaven. May God help you to do that for His name's sake. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for the open door of heaven. We thank that it's not shut and barred to us today. We're glad, Lord, that there is a way by which men and women can enter and find rest with Thee. O God, may men and women heed the invitation. May men and women seek Thee, call upon Thee for Thy mercy. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask these things. Amen.